And you all guess, I mean, where I got this theme from, child of God. So obviously when I heard that we would be blessing Jamie this morning, I thought, and I prayed, that, well, God, what do you want me to share about? And it was, this came so strongly, child of God. That child of God, what does that mean to you on a personal level? Do you sense that you are a child of God this morning, today? Have you felt like you're close to him, or do you feel like you're far away? And when it comes to child of God, I want to speak about how we were all created for a purpose. We were all created for a reason. None of us was an accident. None of us is an extra in this world. It's not like we're a spare. It's like God has created each and every single one of you for a purpose. And often we can spend most of our lives searching for that purpose and never find it because we don't understand why God created us. And it can be a frustrating time for many people when you don't find the purpose that you have, that God's created you for. But I just want to, first of all, go through a time where I'm trying to encourage and sort of get that into your mind that you were created for a purpose. You were created for a reason, and God doesn't make mistakes. So the way you are is the way God created you. The world takes its own, has its own influence and ways that we make our own decisions that takes us in the wrong direction and sometimes a very painful direction. But God is able to lift us up from anywhere where we might be in our lives. And if we go to the, okay, we're already there. So in John chapter 1 verse 3, it says that all things were made through him. This is talking about Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. So everything was made through Jesus. We can read this in Genesis 1. We can read it in John 1. It's just confirmed through there again. And in Colossians, Paul writes, chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus again, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So I want you to understand that everything that we see, everything who we are, every person, you as a person, was created through him, for him. So if you want to find purpose, if you want to find reason why you're being, you were created for him. He has created you to have that relationship with him. And today we were remembering through communion that Jesus came and died for us, that we would have that road back to God and create that relationship with him. And such a, it's just where we find fulfillment when we find our place where God's created us. If we go to the next slide, Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God created man and woman to fulfill, to come together and fill the earth. And this is exactly what we were seeing today. We were blessing this child. That this is God's plan. God's plan was that we would come together and we would create humans and fill the earth. And that's why we can see the spirit of darkness in the world today when there's talk about global warming, which means that there's too many people, which means that we should get rid of people because they don't belong here. Well, that goes so against the word of God, that God has created everybody for a purpose. There's a reason why we're here today, where there's a reason why we were born. And anything that says that there's too many people in the world, we know that that's a spirit that is not from God. Because God loves everyone. And like Rob mentioned about abortion, there's so much abortion happening around the world, and it's just pure evil. It's an evil that we cannot understand. But we need to know that God is the one in ultimate control. And we live in a fallen world where there is evil, but we have hope in God. And we know that regardless of the things that we're going through, we can always look to him. For we were created by God for God. So I hope that this gives you some sort of idea that we were created for a reason. None of us were created just to be an extra person or a random that doesn't belong. We all have purpose. We all have a reason why we're here. And it's not by accident either. If we go to the next slide. This was when Jesus was teaching Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. And it says that they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. When they saw, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And as I was thinking about this Bible verse, there's so much that comes through, especially when it comes to the children. And I was thinking about this yesterday when I was preparing that. When we think of Jamie, how Jamie's only been on earth for 2 months, 6 weeks, 6 weeks. He hasn't been here long, so he hasn't really achieved much, has he? But think about how much love how much his parents, his grandparents, his relatives, and as a church, how much we already love him. We love that child, and he hasn't done anything except be born. Now, I want you to start thinking about yourself as well from a perspective of God's view, that God isn't expecting anything of you because he loves you. And we'll get to that later on when we talk about why he sent Jesus. God sent Jesus into the earth because he loves you. It's not something that we did that maybe Jesus will make feel sorry for me that I can come back to him, but it's that God so loved the world. But I want you to kind of understand this concept of how God sees people. We're all children. Some of us might be older children, some of us are younger children. Well, I'm not us. I'm not the younger. I'm already middle-aged. But some of you younger are all children. And God's created you. And now, I guess as a church, I've seen many people, many disciples, let's say them, rebuke people saying that, well, you can't go into the arms of Jesus because you have certain things in your life that you should get rid of. Well, I think that God is showing here, or Jesus is teaching here, that he loves people. And if people are ready to humble themselves and come to him, come to his heart, come to his arms, Jesus wants to bless them. He wants to show his father heart of God, his love for them, and take them in and sort of just bless them. And it's something that we need to realize, that it's not anything that we've done. Like, just taking an example, Jamie, he hasn't done much. Maybe keep his parents awake at night. But just him being, it just gives that a love. And being a father myself, children are hard work, but they're such a blessing. There's two things I learned when my first one was born. The first thing was I couldn't be so selfish anymore. I realized that it's not all about me and the missus. We had to think of the little one, we had to prioritize that sleep times and so on and so on. I mean, some parents are better at doing that than others. We weren't very good. But we learned that it wasn't all about just us anymore. So teachers taught us about not being so selfish. And the other thing that I found was a completely different understanding of God's love for me. Because I realized the love that I had for this child, and I thought God's love for me is much greater. And when I realized that, when I had that sort of awakening moment, or that sort of, what's the word? Revelation of God's love and how much he loves me. It just broke my heart, and I thought, wow, I mean, I have a love for this child, but if God has a greater love for me, because I am a man and I am not perfect, none of us are good, none of us are perfect. But going back to this Bible verse, it says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Receiving it like a child. So we can learn so much from how a children receives things. A child knows how to accept things without thinking of why or what do I need to do. Children are so open to receiving when they're given a gift. There's a few things here. There's so much I want to bring up in these verses. But yeah, a child has this view of living in the moment, in the now. So often we so get caught up in, well, do you know what's happened in my past? Do you know what my life's been like? Or then we're stressing about the future. Well, what's next year going to be like? How am I going to pay the bills for next week? But children are able to live in the now, to accept the grace of God, the love of God, now in this moment. Another thing that children are is they're content. If they don't, they're so happy with what they're given. I mean, in Papua New Guinea, when I was a young boy living there, seeing the toys that they had with, they were pretty average. Where they had these little toy cars where they had a long stick with another small timber nailed to it, like a mini cross in a way. And then at the end they had like a fork with a stick and two wheels. And that was their car. And it was actually quite a good toy. But they were so content with that, and actually I really liked it. It was one of my favourite toys there for a little while, I think. And it's what children get used to. They're so content with what they have. And it's something that we are always, as people, we somehow start to think that, well, if I had this, or if I had more time, or if I had... We don't find contentment in what we have. I think God's calling us to be childlike in that, be content. He has given us life. He's given us this day to live. How do we live that day? Another thing I've noticed in children is generosity. If children have two things and a friend there doesn't have one, usually the friend, they'll give it to them. It just seems natural. They're like, well, if they don't have it. But as we get older, as we start thinking in our own wisdom, we start to think, well, I've worked hard for this. Maybe they could do it. Maybe they could work hard for their things. But children are naturally, I see, generous, especially our middle child. She's like inviting people over constantly and happy to feed everybody and empty our cupboards, and which is good. It's just that sometimes we're not so prepared. And but it's just the heart of a generous the children are generous, I think. And it's something that this all points to, is it being childlike, what being childlike means. And another thing, children are, they're not afraid to try and be challenged. If they fail, they'll get up and try again. It happens when they're crawling, then they're walking, then they're running, riding a bike. It's just in life in general, children are not afraid to try again. As adults, when we get older, it's so easy for us to stumble away and go, well, never going to be good enough, can't do it, I'll give up. So just to have a childlike way of thinking that, don't give up. Even if we stumble and fall, we have our God, our Father, who picks us up if we're willing to come into His arms, humble ourselves and go into His arms and allow Him to bless us. But also going up to this, it says, we'll go back again. Back another one. Yeah, this one's still the verse 13. "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch him, and disciples rebuked him." I sense that this is a real sort of strong word for some of the people have been in church longer. And we were going through it on Wednesday evening, how disciples are basically Christians. Christians are who want to be disciplined in the word, disciplined in God. It's so easy for us who have been in the church for 30, 40, 50 years, I'm not quite 50, but almost there, to point fingers and say that, well, are you good enough to be in church today? I mean, really? And we sort of rebuke people without even doing it purposefully. Now, let's be awake to that as church members and people who are called to love one another, to serve one another, that we wouldn't be rebuking people in a way when they're trying to find the love of God in their lives, that we wouldn't be there pointing out and saying that you don't belong there. So Jesus had told these disciples to stop doing that and allow these people to come into the arms of Jesus. So let's not be in the way of people when they're coming to Jesus and we're thinking that, well, they don't, their life isn't quite as clean and pure as we would hope they would be. But let's say that Jesus is the one who does the work anyway. And we need to remember, like in Romans chapter 3, Paul writes that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there's none of us who is better than the other person. We all begin at the same line, and it's only the work of God that helps us in going forward. Okay, we'll go to the next slide. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. This is a very sort of well-known scripture, because usually we always, like when we're praying for something, we turn to this and think, well, I'm going to ask God for this thing now and he's going to give it to me. But let's read it. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, good things to those who ask him? So this is all about our fathers in on earth. None of them are perfect. As good fathers are, none of us are perfect. They've done the best that they can when they knew what they could do. It's a learning curve. So Daniel, be easy on yourself. You're going to make mistakes, but we learn from mistakes. I'm still doing it a lot every day. But we'll be humble in learning that fathers on earth aren't perfect. And like it says here, that even though we who are in our flesh evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does God know what we want? But yeah, we could feel like for our fathers in heaven on earth have hurt us, have abandoned us, have frustrated us, have let us down in many ways. But if we understand that they're learning, we're all learning as fathers, but our Father in heaven is different. It says that God knows how much better things to give to those who ask him, who are seeking him. And I want to get this message across, that the fathers that we have here on earth, we so easily build a picture of the Father of the God of Father God that we have in heaven, that if our fathers here have done something to hurt us or have something that we misunderstood, then we think that maybe God in the Father God is the similar sort of way of having that influence on us or doing the things. And it could be like this child psychology sort of thing. Maybe someone who knows about that would know more. But children might feel like they're rejected by their own fathers for something that they've done. And that way we might feel rejected by God in a way that maybe God rejects me because I keep stumbling or because of a certain way that I am. But our God, our Father, he loves us. And he has proven in the Bible so many times how he's reaching out his hand of grace, his great, our hand of love, to call us back. If we go to the next slide, Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32 is the story about the prodigal son. I don't want to read it because it will take too much time, but the prodigal son is a story I recommend, if you don't know it, to read it. But it's a story that's well told in Sunday school and that, but it's a story where a father has two sons, and the younger son says, give me my inheritance now. I want to live my life now. And he takes it and goes and lives his own life the way he wants to, and he squanders it all. And he loses it all, and he ends up, during a famine, starving and working in a pig sty, trying to feed pigs. And he just feels he has this idea of, even the servants of my father's house don't go hungry, and I'm going hungry here and starving. So he returns back home, and his father is waiting there with his arms wide open and receives him back and said, just because you wanted to come back. And it's something that we should realize, that many people make mistakes and they go in their own ways and they take those things that they think would be a blessing in their own lives and thought, I can do this without Father God, without Jesus. I know that my way is better, but God is always open to receiving you back if you're willing to come back. And in that story, the elder son, who's always been there and always working with his father, gets all cranky about it, and he's angry at, why do we party? Why do we have a celebration when the son who squandered everything comes back? But this is a side of the story that as a church we should be sort of humbling ourselves and realizing that when people are coming back, let's be celebrating that they come back. Let's celebrate that they are finding their Savior once again. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, a well-known passage, but let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So this is back to what I was mentioning in the beginning, that this is the love of God for every single person. It's not something that we have done to deserve this. God loved the world that he sent his only Son, and his Son took bear upon the cross. When he died on the cross, which we remember in taking communion, he took our death, he took our rejection, he took our sins so that we wouldn't have to bear the death that Jesus went through. Do we have the next slide where, yeah, this one. In Matthew chapter 27, this is when Jesus is on the cross. Verse 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And sixth hour and ninth hour, we don't really know what that means, but when I was reading up on it, they said that around from noon to about 3 p.m. So when there's usually daylight, there was pure darkness over the world, or over the land. And the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema shabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this is this sort of hit me when you start thinking about what's happened here. God rejected his Son. God forsook his Son. That rejection of his own Son, so that out of the love for you and me. So we don't need to feel rejected because of what Jesus did on the cross. We talk about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, for the things that we've done. But he also died on the cross to take our rejection. God doesn't reject you. If you humble yourselves in front of God and see Jesus as the only way to the Father, he doesn't reject you. The rejection's been done already. God forsook his Son, and there was a darkness over the land because God wasn't there. And the world is like that. It's not a darkness that you can see, but it's a spiritual darkness in the world at the moment. And there's people don't understand what's happening. But let's be awake to that God, who broke his own heart in a way, he broke his own heart when he forsook his own Son, rejected his own Son, so that we would find, we would have the ability to find life through Jesus. So this is exactly what communion is all about the sacrifice that Jesus did, that we would remember that, we would not forget the things that he has done for us. And I believe that the closer we are to God, when we walk close with him, I've realized that I think it makes me a better father. It makes us better parents the closer we are living with him. But not only as parents, but also as people, as friends, as relatives, as people who, spouses, God just, when we walk close with God, God's able to give us his love and we become better people. God's will is that we love one another, serve one another, treat one another as we would like to be treated. And even though, that, like Rob said, that many of you might not be blessed to be a parent or have children, God uses you or wants to use you as a channel of love for this world. There are so many people who are rejected, who are orphaned, who don't have anyone to put a shoulder to cry on. But we have been given this opportunity. The fact that you know who Jesus is, that God has given you his love, is a channel that God wants to use you. It's one of the purposes he has given every single one of us as Christians to be his love here on earth, to serve one another. Do I have any other verses that after that, or did they finish? I can't remember what I sent you. Okay, that's the very last one, but I will get there. But God's given us love that goes beyond understanding. He gives us, encourages us to demonstrate kindness, patience, hope, faith, love in a world that is so dark at the moment. And you are a child of God. But are you willing to humble yourself and come into the arms of Jesus today and say, I have lived my own life, like the prodigal son did? He was willing to come back to the Father, humble himself. And that's what God searches for today, is humble hearts that realize that we have walked our own way, we have turned away from God. But God is a loving God. We've seen that. He broke his own heart when he forsook his son and sent him to the cross, that we would have the joy of knowing God as a Father, a perfect Father, a Father that gives us everything we need. And that grace and that love is open to us today. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So in Jesus we are set free. There is no burden or heavy feeling of, am I good enough? Christ has set us free from all that condemnation. If we're willing to be in front of God today and just say that, God, take this away from me. Take this condemnation, take this burden that is so heavy on my heart. But I hope that this message has been that sort of encouraging, but also eye-opening in a way that you are a child of God. God is close to you this morning. Are you willing to accept his love? And accepting his love means accepting what Jesus did on the cross for you, turning back to him and accepting that, God, the purpose and the will that you have for me can only be fulfilled in living for a life for you. So let's be in prayer now. I won't go on anymore. There was a few things I still wanted to say, but we'll go in prayer. I think this is enough. Rob might have a few things still on his heart, but I'll just pray that this message would do the work that it's called to do in our hearts this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're here with us through your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for Jesus, for what he done on the cross for every single one of us. Thank you that we can be children of you this morning, like baby Jamie, Lord, that we don't have to do anything to receive your love except turn to you and know that you are our Father. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would break through, that your love would break through in people's lives this morning, a new understanding of how much you love each and every single one of us, and that you have a purpose for every single one of us this morning, Lord. Not just this morning, but as we go from here, Lord, on our journeys in life, Lord, that we would turn to you in our times of trouble, turn to you in our times of struggle, and know that you love us, you are close to us, and that we would be willing to turn to you in our times of difficulty and times of struggles, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, Lord. We thank you for your body that was nailed to the cross, that we wouldn't have to die that death, that you, Jesus, took the death that we deserved because we rejected you. And you haven't rejected us, Lord Jesus. Lord, just thank you for opening the way that today we can come to you and know you, Lord, through Jesus, our Savior. We thank you for the work that you've done in our hearts. We thank you for the word that you've put on our hearts this morning, Lord, and I pray that it would do the work that it's called to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.